Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are now currently live and we are recording. So welcome to the podcast this evening. We also is doing the Zoom thing. We also on Facebook Live. We also on Blog Talk Radio and some other formats. We also is airing the thing on other chat rooms and groups. And so we want to welcome each and everybody to our podcast tonight. Tonight we're going to be discussing the passing of one of our brothers, Mr. Paul Mooney. Also, I want to share with you some information about what's about to happen here in the Baltimore area about an event that I'm hosting. But before I do that, and before I introduce you to our co-host, I just want to remind those who are listening to us that this show is brought to you by the National Black Unity Newspaper. And the National Black Unity Newspaper is a unique publication. It's different from every other newspaper out here. It's a solution-oriented publication. It's a publication by us and for us. And it's self-supporting. I mean that in every sense of the way. It's self-supporting. We don't rely on any outside resources to keep us going, and therefore we are not relying on them to tell us what to do and how we do it and the way we should do it. If you get my, well, you get it where I'm coming from. But in any case, but the point is that we need to, I don't care where it comes from, but we need to have more resources to communicate with. We own less than 1% of the media, and so that's not a lot of noise that we can make, but at least we're making some. But, you know, that's why I say, you know, the ceiling is so high for us right now, and I'm talking about it's reachable, but, you know, we keep climbing. But the most important thing is right now. Now, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but I do know this. We need to start talking to one another. We need to sit down and start reasoning with one another. It's serious times, and it ain't no more they against us and we against them. You know, you have to look at yourself as a whole figure. You know, yes, you are a black man, black woman. Yes, you are living in a country that may not look too highly on you. But you look at when you look at things from a global, from natural, from spiritual, and a whole lot of things, you much more than that. But there's also certain laws that we have to abide by as well. And that's God's laws, and I say, you know, natural laws, and there's man's laws. And for myself, I don't know about the rest of you out there, but I have to operate in all three of them. But since I'm here on earth dealing with some of man's laws, and dealing with men issues, then therefore, that's why we need a publication like the National Black Unity News. Because if you don't have a voice, if you can't communicate to your own, and if you can't even talk about your problems, your issues, then it's going to be a bigger problem. You will have bigger issues as well. Because all of us have parts of a puzzle. All of us can bring something to the table. And so we as a people, African American, melanated people, all across throughout the diaspora, all throughout the world, that we need to start communicating with one another, supporting one another, equal the playing field, so that all of us can benefit from us. And if you're like me, we're not the type of people that wants to hold vengeance, want to take revenge and all this kind of stuff out. But if you're like me, you know, we just want to do for our family. We want to make a better way future for our children and our children's children. And we don't want to run up against a whole lot of opposition because of, to me, it's silliness, but to some people, it's power. But we're going to talk about that a little later on. But before we do, I want to bring on this gentleman. That's exactly what he is. He's a gentleman. And I've been knowing his brother for some time now. He's a trooper. He's a soldier. He's been out there on the battle for as long as I have. And that's a long time. And he's still serving. He's still out there. He's still working to help people, you know, with the issues and a lot of other things. So before I go any further, Brother Satawi Jahi, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir. I'm here, David, and it's good to be back.
All right. And so since you are here, you can take it from here.
Okay. All right. And again, I just want to thank all of those people that's tuning in and listening in, especially the 45,000 plus supporters on Blog Talk Radio, our home platform, Home Based Business 101. We thank you for your support, and we thank you for allowing us to be able to reach you. And as we do each and every time we come on these airways, we do a reading from Daily Motivations for African American Success. And the author of that book is Mr. Dennis Kimbrough, who's also the author of Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. Yes, we talk about a black choice, think and grow rich. You know, people say, think and grow rich. Yeah, think and grow rich. Originally written by Napoleon Hill, and then W. Clement Stone sought out Dennis Kimbrough and gave him unfinished manuscript that Napoleon Hill was working on for the African-American community. And so he credited that book into Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. A little backdrop on the book. Let's get into the reading for today. The Daily Motivations for African-American Success. May 24. Meeting of the mind. Your mind is what makes everything else work. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, former NBA great. Reading for today. It has been said that the rational mind is a wonderful servant, but a terrible master. We must control the mind instead of giving it free rein to run wild. If we do not control the mind, it will team up with the mouth and the tongue, and together they can lead us into trouble. A man was troubled with dizzy spells. He went from one doctor to another, but none could diagnose the problem. He began to lose weight.
You are muted. You can mute or unmute yourself by pressing star 6. The host would like you to unmute your microphone. You can press star 6 to unmute.
You are unmuted.
What happened?
Okay, you must have hit something muting me out. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay, all right. I'll pick it up from paragraph 2. The man was troubled with dizzy spells. He went from one doctor to another, but none could diagnose the problem. He began to lose weight. He stopped sleeping at night. His health began to deteriorate. He soon lost hope that he would ever recover, so he decided to prepare for the worst. He made out his will. He bought a cemetery plot, and he even made arrangements with a local undertaker for what he was convinced was his imminent demise. He even decided to buy a new suit of clothes to be buried in. He picked out shoes, socks, coat, pants, and asked for a size 15 shirt. The store clerk said, "But sir, you need a 16 and a half shirt, not a 15. The man insisted and wore a size 15. Finally, an experienced clerk said, "But if you wear a fifth size 15, you'll get dizzy spells. We can stay out of trouble by using our minds. I'm not speaking of the emotion, but of wisdom, of the soul. Alonzo Herndon, an ex-slave who was worth millions when he died, spoke discreetly about the mind. Sometimes it's best, he said, if a person spends a moment or two thinking. It's one of the toughest things an individual can ever do. The mind is one of our most prized assets. Our rational mind, when under control, will never steer us wrong. The mind is real. It cannot be misled because it does not confuse facts with wisdom. Today, I will keep my rational mind under control." That's our reading for today. And, you know, we all need to make sure we work on keeping our rational minds under control so that, you know, we don't lose our minds. Back to you, David.
Okay. Yeah, that's a powerful statement you made. Me and a certain party on this phone call, we were talking a lot about the mind earlier today, how the quiet is sometimes because it can run away with you sometimes, or it can make so much noise. And it ain't got to be bad noise, just so much going on at one time that it can cause confusion and you can't find your quiet space. And so, yeah, that's a powerful statement, Brother Satawi, and it's timely as well. And before we get in our main topic of conversation, I want to pay homage to Brother Paul Mooney, a well-known activist as well as community. I always call him activist first because this brother would say things, man. They were funny, you know, hilarious sometimes, but they were straight to the point. He was telling the truth from my perspective. He would hit you, he almost cut you out in a joke and cut right to the core. But it's the funny the way he said, the way he delivers it. And I happened to meet his sons years ago. They came to Baltimore on a business venture, and I and a couple of other activists at the time, you know, got involved with it. But in any case, you know, like many lately, I don't know what's going on. I guess it's just plainly just time. Time is running out on a lot of us, and it seemed like as of late, come to those of us, especially African Americans, those of us who some would call celebrities, are passing at it seemed like at an alarming rate. You know, just so many the last 5 or 10 years, but I guess it goes at the normal rate, just that we pay more attention to it now. And so in any case, you know, so people, like I think I want to take my hat off to Brother Paul Mooney and give my condolences to his family and friends, because he did make a great contribution to mankind, as far as I'm concerned. So he was able to stand in front of massive amount of people and speak truth to it, you know. And didn't seem to have no fear about it. What say you about that, Brother Satavi?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that always had me cracking up, he said he would see a homeless white person. He said he used to feel sorry for them, he said, because he said he couldn't understand how they end up homeless. He said, you can understand how a black person can end up homeless. He said, but a white person, he said, they must do something right, you know. So, and, you know, I mean, and you know, that always had me thinking, you know, about, especially, you know, when it comes to race, since race is a reality in this country. And, you know, and you know, he always just said, you know, there's those that had the connection of the complexion, that they had access to things that we just can't fathom. So he said, you know, whenever he saw a homeless white person, he said, you know, he used to feel sorry for him.
Yeah, well, him and that brother Dick Gregory, you know, they had a unique way of telling the joke. You know, now, I mean, I seen them get on those late night shows way back in the day, and was standing there flat footed, face to face with all of those people, not only in the audience but people from all around the country, and would say things. And it sounds funny to them, but when they think about it, he was on them. He was, you know, speaking truth to power about some of those conversations, you know, in a jokingly way. And but, you know, that's what I always tell people, you know, when you communicate, it can come in many forms. You can sing it. You can talk it. You can say it in a poem, or you can write it. And but they all pretty much have pretty much the same type of effect. They can cut you. They can make you laugh. They can make you cry. I don't care what form they come in. And so, again, you know, I want to pay homage to the brother. Hey, Brother Cliff, how you doing, sir?
And, I'm doing well. Doing well.
I think, you know, Cliff used to be a comedian, didn't you?
Only to the degree that sometimes the serious things that I would try to tell people, they would laugh at them.
Okay. Okay. They used to, right? Not no more, right? But in any case,
yeah, they probably still laugh a little bit.
Yeah, but you don't care as much as no more though now, do you? Yeah, you get older, you stop giving them, you know, what they think. But at least you get your point across. And again, I like I said, I wanna thank his family and you know, for his contributions. Now we're gonna move on a little bit. Now, I don't know. I just put it out there today. I put out a little poster. I think I can show it on it, but I don't want to go through all of them. It's not that many chains, but it's a poster. And it has about, I think it has about, it's 49 or something like that. I know it's over 45 pictures on there. And several people is on this call, is on that poster. Poster, you know, is reminding people of the upcoming event that's going to be held in Baltimore at a place called the Art Social Club, which is the oldest men organization, black men organization in the entire nation. And it's a historical place. Also, it's located at a historical location in Baltimore called a place called North and Pennsylvania Avenue. And back in the day, it was a very prominent area to be in because they had, you know, a big famous, matter of fact, where our social club sit there, a place called Wilson's, I think it was called Wilson's Restaurant, something like that. But it was a big popular restaurant, high class. And we had one of the highest paid movies in there called the Met Theater back in them days. That was one of the most expensive movies you can go to back then. And that corridor right there is still one of the most busiest in the city. But, you know, during this heyday, it really was remarkable because quite a few people from all around the country come up there. And that Pennsylvania Avenue, up and down Pennsylvania Avenue, that was all what we used to call the black man's downtown. And at this place that I'm speaking about, I'm bringing in people who has put in some work over the years. We have Dr. Watis on here. She had put in some work for a multitude of years. And me and Dr. Watis worked together 25, 30 years ago in the newspaper. And then you have Brother Cliff on here who's been working in the vineyard for a long time as well. Just been, you know, been out there. And what I'm doing is to several things that's taking place. First of all, it's going to be a documentary. I think I'm pronouncing that right. I'm going to highlight some of the people that I have met over the years personally that has served our community in so many different ways. And one of the reasons I want to do this is because a series of things has happened lately that led up to this. And one thing, because I was getting sick quite a bit lately, and then I come home, there was a great group of people who started raising funds for me, not because I'm so poor or this, that, but they just thought I deserved because of all the work I've been putting in over the years. And then that made me reflect on all the people I knew who have put in the work over the years. So they put a spotlight on me, so that and what I do, I turn the spotlight, is going to put it on a whole host of people so that our community can see some of the true workers in the community. Not just because I want to spotlight them, but it's another reason for this as well. The other one, you know, it's a couple of reasons, but one of the other reasons is too, because one of the worst things that can happen to any community is miscommunication. Especially amongst yourself, when you got one generation don't understand the next generation and the ones after that. And a lot of that has taken place in our communities because I can recall back when I was a little boy, we used to have a thing called a generation gap. Anybody over 30 was pretty much didn't know anything. And when you think like a child, when you are a child, you think like a child. And so, but you don't know, you just don't know. And a lot of our young people today, some of the conversations that I hear on the internet, they be raving and ranting about old folks. And some of the people they call them old folks only in their 40s, 50s and stuff. But then if they say neat things about them, I can imagine what they say to people at my age. And so, you know, they say they need to get out the way. They need to move on the side and let us take over because we don't understand anything. And so that's another reason why I want to, because I want our younger people to know, to actually not only know, but to actually see and hear these people in real time, in real life. And even some of my, like I said, a few of my mentors are going to be there as well. And that's going to be an honor for me because they opened a lot of doors for me, you know, when I was coming up. You know, some of these people helped first put me on the radio and things like that, and radio was big time back in them days. And they introduced me to a lot of the culture community. And so, you know, I appreciate them for that. And but at this event, everybody on that post will get a brief opportunity to speak about who they are, what they do, and what they continue to do. And then after this event, it's going to be streaming live in all these different formats. But at the end of it, Afterwards, we're going to take it and turn it into a documentary. We're going to break it and maybe add some more pieces to it, because some people that wants to be there are going to be out the country and things like that. But I want them to come in because they have different perspectives. And we're going to have all three age groups there, you know, the millennium, baby boomers, as the one they call Generation X, all of them going to be there. But most of the people that's going to be there are working, but we're going to have quite a few youth organizations that's going to bring that youth there so they can meet some of these folks, so we can quiet down some of that misinformation that's being circulating amongst ourselves about each other. And I think this, you know, all the way around, this thing going to be a powerful event with powerful people in it. And it's at a historical location, and it's at a historical club, and we're going to have even some historical people there, you know. And so you put all this together, I think it would be such a great documentary, because we all know, most of us on here, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but most of us on here knows that we don't tell our stories. You know, we tell it, you know, maybe on my stuff, but we don't do it, share publicly. And nobody else spotlight us. We'll spotlight everybody else. But no one's come into our community and seek those people that's making changes for the best for us. They don't put them in the news. If you're doing something wrong, or you bamboozling somebody, or you got it, you can get it. And they'll give it to you, pay you for it. But for those people, like a brother Cliff on here who's been out for all these years, you don't see them seeking him out, because you know what's going to happen is brother Cliff going to speak truth to them, and they ain't going to be able to handle it. They don't want you to know it in the first place. So that's why it's so important to tell our stories. And there's a young lady on here right now. I just want to bring up, because I just glanced at her name. And Eartha Harris, can you unmute yourself? Because Eartha works with Mr. Paul Mooney's sons. And I think you were the one, Eartha, way back in the day, introduced me to him way back then, if I'm not sure.
Okay, yeah. Because they definitely came to Baltimore right after the Million Man March.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Bridges.
Right.
And it's funny that you said that. I was having a conversation with my nephew about Paul Mooney. And he said, oh, you know what? He was very funny on Dave Chappelle. I said, oh, he was a famous comedian before Dave Chappelle. He said, really? I never knew that. I said, well, get on your computer and do what y'all do best. Start pulling up people and researching them. So that's why, like you said, Dave, even with you highlighting us, it gives me an opportunity to remind myself and remind my younger people, they need to start researching people's history, because I was looking at Felicia Rashad. She just became dean at Howard University, you know, and that's, again, she's portrayed to us as an actor on Bill Cosby, but she also has a great history of degrees in education. So, yes, Mr. Paul Mooney and, again, his sons, they're about our age. They're like 62, because Paul Mooney had these particular young men when he was about 18. So they on Facebook, and they say one of the most important things that they know they have to do is carry on their father's legacy, because right now all of the accolades, and they got to go to all of these award shows and all this sort of thing. And they was really expressing, not that they're not sympathetic to those things, but they just wish that their father would have gotten a lot of that while he was still living. Oh. So that's been to show you what you're doing is so powerful.
Amen.
You know, people wait, but if this man is so great, why didn't he get his flowers and all of those accolades? Because they said their father really has been dead for a couple of years because he had dementia. He didn't even know who anybody was, or, you know, that type of stuff. So they were dealing with the loss of their father for many, many years, because once a person is gone, and I remind myself, my mother was in that state because she, you know, lived into her 90s, but she didn't know who everybody was, or she really was just not here. So I can understand where they're coming from and saying it's not that they're not in tears or whatever, but they have cried long before their father physically died, their father had died.
You mentioned something, Eartha, but you just mentioned it, and you said something very key, and it touched me real heavily, because I don't want to get into the thing, but I want people to understand the importance of it, though. You just give people their flowers while they're still living. Now, Bill Gooden and Vernon and them got together, and they started this concept similar to that. You know, they helping people out or assisting people. Because, you know, people like me, Brother Purnell, and the people that's going to come after me has already, you know, will continue to do what we do with or without somebody help, because that's what's in our nature. And but I'm going to tell you something. You know, I've been out here 40, 50 years myself and stuff. You know, and like I say, when they start, you know, giving me money and saying nice things about me and stuff, that I was not accustomed to that.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, it felt kind of strange, but I'm going to tell you what it did do, though. Like I say, that old Stevie Wonder song, for the first time in my life, you know, I felt, you know, felt some real true love, you know.
Yeah.
And the people started calling me and stuff. You know, I was getting, I mean, man, that was, it was strange, but it was so beautiful. It felt like, you know, you like your life was worth living. Even, like I said, you don't do these things for those things. But I'm going to tell you something, people. I mean, if you don't know, I can tell you, because I know now. I know personally that how this benefit. That's why. One of the reasons why I do that, because if I'm feeling this way from the love that I'm getting, you know, and guess what happened to me? What happened was me. Remember I asked you for Charlie Duggar and everybody, and I'm an earthen?
Mm-hmm.
And I start calling and I start talking, and I hold these conversations with all of these people.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how much they appreciated just a phone call?
Mm-hmm.
Say somebody, and because I said I want to recognize them, how appreciative they was because somebody was thinking about them. And that's all they do all day long, is think about other people, serving other people. But it's so strange to them when somebody called them up and say, I appreciate you. They feel almost the same way I did. Like yeah. I was blindsided. You know, could be another cup. And we as a people, we got to change that, ladies and gentlemen. You know,
we got to step up to the plate because, like today, Bill called for the rally for Brother Bay, right? We got to make sure that we don't beat ourselves down, but when we recognize that we have to step up. Now, here's an elder who even mm-hmm. he doesn't even have, you know, memory of stuff. So he was supposed to be barred from going into the liquor store, and he forgot that he was barred. So he goes back into the liquor store, and they don't have sympathy to know that he has Alzheimer's. They're like, we're going to call the police. The police come, he's been arrested, all sorts of stuff. And a week before that, he was sprayed. We're trying to go down there and let the Korean man know that we want to take responsibility, especially to helping our elders. He told us pretty much to kiss his butt and get out of there.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Wow.
But the thing that I love about what you're doing, Dave, Bill been doing this for years. He knows that the Asian community is arrogant and they cocky and whatever. And he was ready for that man because he went out there and he showed that man that we will not tolerate this because we are getting better in how we are moving in self-determination. Our brother should never experience that. He should have never been arrested, and you're not going to prosecute him and try to get him to be a brother that now is locked up. So now we're getting better, and I like the fact that you have Zoom calls and we can communicate. And having this event, to me, is just not about highlighting us. Sometimes we need to enjoy ourselves. When are we going to come together and be able to take the time for each other? So I look at your event also as an opportunity that we take the time for each other, because sometimes I would just like to spend time, you know, sitting around chit-chatting with you and
yep.
Bill.
Mm-hmm.
You don't always have to be in the fight mood. We don't need to
yeah.
that, you know what I'm saying? So when do we get those times? It's when people develop special things like you're doing. Another one that I want to remind you that we experienced, when Mama Lola was passing away, she decided, hey, I don't want to not see the love of a so-called funeral. And we did that celebration for her and Ross Marcus.
Right. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
To again show us that we're capable of making sure that we do establish those customs and things of our own. If people want to be, hey, I know I'm dying, but why wait for me to die? Why can't I have my celebration right now? And it was sad, but it was joyful at the same time.
Well, yes, it was. That was one of the most beautiful events I ever seen, you know, and to see that much love floating around and just watching her, you know, like you said, I like to observe people and just to see the, you know, the love and the over, you know, overwhelming love that she received that day. You know, I mean, the elders, the young people, everybody was out there, you know, people that she haven't seen in years and stuff. And they poured it out on her, and it was great. And so, ladies and gentlemen, so, you know, when we start being considerate and start being our brother keeper, you know, it plays more than an important part. Now, all we have to do sometimes, you know, just look at our family members sometimes. Look at those people that's right there in your community that you know who's putting in a little bit. Just say thank you sometimes, you know, because it does make a big difference. And the way things are today, unfortunately, is why this event is needed, because things are so quick, fast, and in a hurry these days. It's instant this, fast this. If you don't get it now, if you don't Amazon it, if you don't do this, that, you know, you just don't have the time to do it. And people, it's so quick, fast, and but then now people are moving so swiftly that they don't even see each other now. And when they don't see each other, I'm talking about, that's why people are so quick to kill people or shoot or hurt or harm somebody, to call the police on you and everything now, because they don't understand you. We're not sociable. Now, how in the world, now I'm going to talk some of y'all on, how in the world that we have people, like my mother, for instance, you had eight children, would get up in the morning, make sure we all was dressed and ready to go to school, fix us, but not boil it, not do this. I mean, fix breakfast from scratch, because they didn't have the instant this or the microwaves or anything like that. They had to cook in those days, you know, and then do all of this and then go to work. You know, make your lunch and all that kind of stuff, because we didn't have those type of cafeterias, but everybody just coming there. We had to carry bag lunch, most of us did, and not just me, my whole neighborhood. And so, you know, so they had time, you know, I know it's a different day, different time, and all these things, but you know, sometimes we have to make time. If somebody can get their phone, you know, like I said, I'm gonna see if I can mute somebody, but you know, sometimes we have to make time for one another. But you know, the day ain't that big and ain't that long. Them same 24 hours back in them days is still 24 hours today. And again, if you look around you sometimes, even the people in your own network, most people, we don't even know what's going on with people in our own network, you know, because we don't pick up the phone and talk to one another anymore. We see each other in passing. But in any case, this event that's going to take down at the 5th Regiment Armory, there's going to be a lot of people there, but I'm going to take the liberty to invite more people down there, because, you know, every time if you invite 20 people or 50 people, maybe they all may show up sometime, but most of the time, you know, some people, you know, something happens. Stuff happens. Stuff get in the way. But I do know, I believe that, like I say, we have close to almost 50-something people that's scheduled just to speak a few words. You know, like I say, five minutes, and they're moving on and stuff like this. But, you know, it's going to be a lot of picture taking, because a lot of stuff, like I say, going to be gonna go into a documentary. And so, you know, if y'all can get there, try to get there on time, because it's going to be a lot of interviews and stuff like that. And I know Vernon, who's on with us tonight, he's going to be there. Another young lady called Black Box, she's going to be recording. And I believe Brother Purnell, the one we just had the fundraiser for, he's going to be taking pictures. He's going to be doing a group picture and everything like that as well. Brother Cliff on here, he's going to have the honors of controlling the mics and what you call that, what you do, Cliff? DJing. And Brother Cliff got that. And so in the brothers at our social club, they are going to be, you know, announcing some things that's going to be taking place there as well. So it's going to be a pack. So we're getting down to the wire now. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time in there. I see Brother Ashok is on here tonight as well. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. You probably, I don't know if you hear me or not.
Yes, I can hear you. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. How's everybody?
Everybody, I'm doing good. I don't know about anybody else, but your name came up 3 or 4 times this week, sir.
Yeah.
And, Sister Nora, I was on the phone call with her. You know, she had to touch us. She told me she had to touch with dementia herself now, but she mentioned you, you know, about some of the drama, because the last time I seen her, we were there doing the African Liberation Day at the park, you know, down at, and she was there, and she remembered, you know, she remembered a lot, but, you know. But again, like I say, people, you know, like I say, Brother Bay, is going through something there, you know. So a lot of us going through a lot of things as we get older, and that's why we have to be mindful of each other. And this is another. I want to introduce you to this brother, man. This brother, man, is a true soldier. Just about every cultural event I go to, he's there. And not only is he there, he's participating with the organization, with youth organizations, all sorts of things. Drumming. This brother drums up a storm. And I just wanted to let you know, and he's going to be one of our speakers there that evening too, and because he is a soldier. And so I appreciate you, sir.
Appreciate everybody on here, especially you.
All right. Thank you, sir. And now, this is the time. Here it is, 8:05, ladies and gentlemen. And if anybody has something they want to share, or anybody want to, you know, make a comment about this or about that, or something heavy on your heart, or we can discuss, this is the time to do so. The phone's open.
Let me ask a question. Is Brother Bay out yet, or do we need to get money for him to get out, or what?
Okay. Earth, do you know, have any information on that?
Brother Bay is out, and he's in the hospital, but one thing we do need is to provide resources around him, because I think, you know, we already know the situation.
Eartha, can you speak up a little louder? I can barely hear you.
Can you hear me now, Dave?
Yeah, much better.
Okay, what I was saying is, yes, he is out. He's in the hospital. But one thing that we really realize, again, for all of our seniors, is for us to be proactive and make sure that we have the right resources. From my understanding, he's a little senile, so his son and Sheena is working with trying to get him more care and more people around him, because that's why he didn't even remember, you know, his actions, or remember that he was banned from the store. But also, they saying that he has a low heart rate, so right now he's in the hospital. Could have been traumatized from being incarcerated, but they do have him in the hospital. Bill and Terrence is going to work on Wednesday, again, trying to make sure that the gentleman doesn't try to continue to prosecute Brother Bay for the trespassing. Not that we think that he's going to get locked up, but, you know, he shouldn't even have to experience that. So the gentleman was very arrogant, of course, and, you know, pretty much.
A gentleman, the bum.
Yeah, I meant to say the bum. Thanks for correcting me. And you know, we're going to strategize and see which direction. But we did want to prioritize, just like I was showing them the things that I have to do to help BB Fatima. You know, I have, you know, you, Ishakara, you know, Charlie Duggar, Baba Tunde, Bill. I told her, I call on people, because sometimes you don't have to do everything by yourself. And if you can't do it, sometimes people can call someone else. So I was telling her that I gave a number out. So what I did is I used the nonprofit organization. I went down there, and I also was trying to be proactive. So I went down there, and I put Projects Millions More Movement on a flyer with our number and said, if you need food, clothing, shelter, legal services, health services, give us a call. Because these are the things I think, guys, that we just have to really understand that we do have the resources. We just have to tie them in more tighter, you know, because we definitely with the Unity newspaper, get that down there so those seniors can get the proper information and feel connected. and give them alternatives. Terrence was down there, and he promised that he could, you know, they could order dinners, and we could just deliver dinners down there.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah, the Freedom Paper guy, Kamos Muhammad, you know, he already does the auto shipment of bathroom tissue, paper towels, and stuff like that. So we offered them an opportunity to make sure that they get essentials like that and don't have to buy it. And they were so happy because they were like, yeah, because he'd be charging $3 for just a roll of toilet paper. And,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
They, the
yeah.
prices were ridiculous. They were saying sodas were like $2.50. You know, so we have to just make sure that we go back and tie our resources because all of us are doing great things. We can just, again, put them in a way that we inform our community that come back to us because we can now solve our own problems. So it was a good meetup.
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you one thing, though. See, the reason why that person was able to do something like that and get it done like the way he did it with Brother Bay is because I probably felt as though that he don't feel no threat from us, no, from the community, no reprisals or anything. Like, he can come in there, take our money, and do what they want to do and then go on about their business, you know. And but see, you can't go into everybody else's community and do that kind of stuff. And so, but again, you know, that's why I say I thank God for, you know, because we got soldiers all around us, man, who are willing to take a stand and will stand against any kind of tyranny. I don't care what level it's on. But, you know, that's why I feel so good about so many things, because, like I said, I've watched firsthand. I've seen, like, people right on this call, Brother Clifford, I've seen them. I've seen y'all at work. And so that's why I say, you know, from the way I see things, because maybe I've been around certain things, but a lot of people don't seem to get it, so to speak, to how powerful we are if we pull our resources together, that wisdom and knowledge that we have together. And Brother Cliff had this thing here, you know, and I think that's one of the greatest other things out here, too, is that he had this thing called the will. I don't know, what do you call the thing, Brother Cliff? What's the system itself?
Well, the design that I kind of colloquially call spokes of the wheel, and it's not it's not actually even something that I made up. Turns out that that goes back to 1935 at Mary McLeod Bethune's National Conference of Negro Women, where she essentially got 20 black women's organizations to work together in a coalition. And the structure that they used, they actually called it a spokes of the wheel structure. So the name is not something that I came up with.
Okay.
But the idea is still to create some kind of a visual construct so that organizations can feel encouraged and empowered to begin to work together in a cooperative manner instead of trying to follow a pecking order or attempting to subordinate someone else's vision or mission to their own, or to encourage competition or any kind of acrimony between organizations. It's not supposed to be about that. It's supposed to be about different organizations bringing their own special missions to the table and finding a way that they can all work together cooperatively. Or to put it another way, some people say it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And I say that that person is also wrong. It's not a sprint. It's not a marathon. It's a relay race. And what we're failing to do is when we get the baton, we're failing to hand the baton off to each other. We're failing to root for each other while we're running around that track. If I run my leg and I hand the baton off to you, I doggone well need to be cheering you on and doing whatever I can to help you succeed. Because if you drop that baton, if you cramp up, or if you find yourself sucking wind on that home stretch and aren't able to finish the race, I lose too. And too many of us seem to lose sight of that without each other, none of us is going to move ahead. It's not all about revolution. It's not all about business. It's not all about spirituality. It's not all about art and culture. It's not all about media. It's about all of those things together. And people keep saying, well, I was with the Panthers once upon a time, and it did not work. It's not that it didn't work. It's that they were working alone. is that they didn't have enough legal warriors to back them up when they were attacked in the courts. It's like they didn't have the media sufficiently strong to strengthen their image with the public when the negative propaganda and the lies were spread about them. That's what the problem was. The problem wasn't that their idea didn't work. The problem was they were working alone. And people say, I've got the answer here, I've got the answer there. Everybody's got a piece of the answer. It seems to me that the only answer we haven't tried is all of them together at once.
Yeah.
I think also what the problem was, say like for this incident, we had to first determine who's the we, because what I did with this process is almost like you said, Cliff, when they started off, it went in all directions. And I said, no, Bill, what we had to understand is, like you said, we all is the relay. Everybody played their piece, because the brother did not understand why I was talking about coming down there with this flyer. He was like, Miss Ertha, it's not about the flyer. It's not about you talking about what the other seniors need and all this sort of stuff, because I'm just talking about my father. But what I did is I said to myself, you don't understand, because sometimes we fight among each other because we're trying to convince people we're right or we're wrong. I said to myself, I ain't got to convince you, because I know the position that I supposed to play in this relay. When you pass that baton off to me, I'm going to do my job, because you're the one that put me on this team. So when they passed the baton off to me, I did the job of the Baltimore Local Organizing Committee. We have solutions and opportunities. I listed down there for the people. I said, you need food, clothing, shelter, legal services, medical services, and I put my number on the flyer, Cliff. You see what I'm saying? And then I said to Sheena, oh, no. I passed the phone off to Bill. Bill was the one in the store talking to the man. I will shut you down. I will do all of this, 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 and this. And I'm like, yeah, that's the role you play. Terrence came in with the lawyer and the food. So you're right. But we have to understand that now it is we are the people that have to use our own philosophy and start making that happen, because we talked about the philosophy and we're saying that this is the answer. And just like Dave is doing, or you're doing, Cliff, or any of us doing, we have to support our own answer, because we're the ones that's not supporting our own philosophy.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. That's the magic, I think, that's going to take place there, because they're going to be a group of people. I ain't going to say like-minded people, but I know a group of people that are accustomed to serving, to giving of their time and effort and energy. And hopefully, out of all of that synergy that's going to be taking place on that day, and reunions and reconnecting, you know, because everybody been shut down through this pandemic thing, and they see all of this energy and everything, and we had enough time this time around, you know, when we had to kind of slow down a little bit and reevaluate a lot of things in our life. But for this time around, for those, not only for the young people to meet some elders that may can mentor or lead them in the right direction, and vice versa, some of these young people can bring some of that new technology to our old elders and teach them a thing or two and everything in between. But at the same time, what I believe is going to happen, this is me speaking, is that some reunions going to take place, some new networks going to take place, and there's going to be the right type of people in that room that can make things happen. Instead of, like I said, we can get in a lot of places and people, they can sit up there and just show you stuff and everything, but you know, there's no work ethics behind that. But in this room, I'm kind of making sure of it, because I know this from my personal standpoint of view, that everybody in there, just about everybody in there that's going to be on that speaking stage is going to have, you know, a track record of doing, not just talking, but doing as well. And just maybe some of us can come together, young, old, and in between and everything else, and we can get some things off the ground right here in Baltimore and spread out all over this country, you know. And so that's what I'm hoping to happen. And even if it don't happen in that particular day or that particular day, I'm going to take it a step further and take this documentary and go send it all over the place. And so, you know, you ain't going to escape. You know, we're going to get it out there. But it just so good you know, from my perspective, see so many powerful, positive, strong black people who's willing to take a stand by themselves and have took a stand by themselves. But now, for once in their life, too, that we can, some of us can come together. You can't take all the time, take the whole tribe. Like you say, Cliff, you know, it's a relay, but, you know, sometimes some people don't want to pass it. They don't need to be in this race then. You know, we need to get the ones that's going to be in that race. You know, maybe they'll come, maybe their eyes will open up later on if they are needed, but at the same time, we cannot stop, or we should not stop, you know, our efforts.
I got a question. Mama Eartha, can you hear me?
I think she can. Yeah. Eartha, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
I had a question, Mama Eartha. You ever thought about, since you was on the steering committee, trying to get, and you know a lot of people in the community, you ever thought about creating something for us in Baltimore City, since you have so much experience with the steering committee and the 100 man march, 1 million man march. Yes. Since you have so much experience with that and being on the steering committee, is it a way that you can get all of us in Baltimore together? You know, take the same concept, but like everybody's been saying, we need to come together as one. And I think, you know, you're the right fit for that.
So what I'm doing, and hopefully going in the direction that you're saying. So what I thought the method would be this. So you're saying, okay, you're the one. And I said, so I'm the one in terms, like I'm saying, I'm the chef. So when I went in the kitchen, depending on what I'm making is what resources I'm using. So because I know, like you said, all of the ingredients, salt, pepper, sugar, butter, cake, whatever. Now I'm taking those ingredients, depending on what you guys say, just like you said, if right now Dave Murphy is talking about this event and how we're going to make it successful and whatever. I said, okay, the resources I need, one, to be on the call so I can constantly get the information. So as I'm trying to prepare whatever I can contribute to this, I know the ingredients that I need to use. That's why he said that I gave him names of people to add to the event that he's doing. Today, Bill Gooden, his need was the day, hey, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to shut this guy down and I'm going to protest. And I said, what the ingredient Bill Gooden needs is, people always say, so what are we going to do after the protest? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to give them what we're going to do. I'm going to create a flyer, and this flyer is going to say, this is what we do after the protest. You know what I'm saying? So the steering committee for the Million Man March, if you want to be on it, we just formalized that just the last week. I said almost what you said. I said, you know what? You guys, because I'm the woman, you guys need to kind of like get me out of the picture, because when the Million Man March becomes powerful, they have to see the Vernon, the Dave Murphys, the Bills, the Milan. They need to see a bunch of men like in front, not Eartha Harris. And I'm humble enough to understand you guys know what I did because you was there. But that's not what the Million Man March needs. The Million Man March needs a stern committee, like you said, of men making the decisions on how and what that is going to look like historically moving forward. When you guys tell the history, because like you said, with you being so young, but you know Bill Gooden.
Okay, Eartha got shut off some kind of way. I see Edna Lawrence. Go ahead.
You said that BB Father McCall, but don't, and I love that you said that, Vernon. But that's what I think I'm trying to do, and that's the method in which I'm trying to make that happen.
I was speaking on a citywide level because I know even Brother Clifford talked about we have a lot of organizations you know, in the city, and we need to, you know, just to come together. It's something like a AFRAM, you know, or something just for us to get together, just a fellowship, you know, a cookout, you know, and we just network with, amongst ourselves, you know, using the concept of the wheel. We just need to get together, you know, get together.
People will come to the table and be part of what we're doing.
Okay, I see. Also, Ed in the line. So, you still on the line?
I think I am.
There you go. How you doing?
Grandma,
I'm okay. How y'all doing?
All right. Yes, I think it's the first time you've been on with us, isn't it?
I guess. I've just been listening.
So you just been listening? You got anything you want to share?
She getting her technical skills together. Mama Edna got this down pack. Facebook, now she got this down pack.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I just think if we keep doing old things from old habits and friendship clubs, we'll never get anything accomplished. I'm so tired, all of y'all, of sitting in meetings and hearing the same old rhetoric being reprocessed through a filter chamber. I'm doing things a little different. I have a large organization of people that we're calling ourselves the underground, because I'm doing out-of-state things because I have gotten so frustrated with the same people saying the same thing, and our children are still dying on the same
You are muted.
That these people are standing on, talking the same thing. I mean, everybody know how to cash app. Everybody know how to beg for fundraising money. But God knows they do not know how to walk out in the street and get our children off the corner. They don't care about education. Everybody want to be impressive. How impressive can you be as an adult and children are being shot in the bathtub when they're in the house? How impressive. All of us on here, how impressive are we being, talking about all the work we've accomplished, and we can't even get children in school to be educated and stop being labeled as ghost students. I got a bunch of young children getting ready to file a class action suit against Baltimore City. I told the people in Baltimore City to do it. You know who went and did what I said? Baltimore County. So I went and collected a bunch of young boys, 19, 17. They're all filing a class action lawsuit called the negligence and the lack of education in Baltimore City. Because the adults in Baltimore City, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm an implant. I love all you guys. I respect every individual on there. But I have gotten to the point that I'm tired of being tired of reading the same news information that we get in Baltimore. Needs to just, all the leaders need to do what they did in the old days. We need to just get in the room, like what we're doing on Zoom. We need to get in the room and just call everybody out and say, before you can leave the room, you must be friends. But you can just say what you want to this person. Tell them you don't like them. Tell them you hate what they do. Tell them you don't want to do this no more. Tell them you want to participate. But before you leave the room, you know, I'm at the point where I feel like, you know, the church opened the door to have people come in. I think we have to get the people in there and lock the door and don't let nobody leave till we accomplish something. Because I'm so very tired of being tired of hearing people saying the same old garbage, and it don't help none of us. The women is doing the men work. The men is, you know, I'm going to be honest. You know, y'all, you sent me this. Y'all invited me on. So I'm just at the point now that I'm gathering young people like I always do. I'm gathering old people. I have a group of young people buying property. Y'all don't even know. They buying property in Baltimore City. Buying it like crazy. Buying property. We just was on the store that y'all talking about, that agent store in the corner. Me and my daughter's father used to have a an African marketplace on Wilson in Pennsylvania, right across from Pincer Street where they tore down my stepchildren. That was their family house. We done rented the land. That, all that construction up there, that's just for an effort that we're doing, the underground. I'm telling y'all, we don't come together because, you know what, I'm an implant. I'm not a Baltimorean, Baltimorean. I've been here a long time. My children was born here. But when it come down to work, don't nobody listen to Grandmother Edna. They love me. They greet me. They hug me. And when I turn my back, don't pay no mind. Because you know why? Because I tell you, I'm a commissioner. I'm a woman commissioner in Baltimore City. I sat in the meeting that y'all hear about. Do y'all say, Grandmother Edna, what happened in that meeting? I can't go in that meeting. Grandmother Edna can go in the meeting because I'm a commissioner. I was on the executive school board. I got off the school board because of the way they're not educating our children. When I try to tell people, they don't want to hear it because they got their own system that's destroying Baltimore City, and y'all going to keep on because the insiders are not doing the work, and the outsiders are coming in. They're designating what needs to be done, and trust me, it's getting done. We on here talking, and I'm telling you.
Let me ask you something. Let me ask you something. What do you need for people to do with you?
All I need people to do is just not say, yeah, Grandmother Edna, and then don't pay me no mind. It's just a simple thing, David. It's a simple thing. I listen to all of y'all. D-Cliff, I think this brother right here got the best plan in the country. But people want to say, Eartha, y'all say the weed system. Let me explain something to y'all about that weed system. When you say we, it's just like making a sandwich. You take the top piece of bread and then you pull in the products that you're going to eat off the bread. You're going to be responsible for everything you put in between those two slices of bread. So when you say the we system, you're taking charge and you're taking responsibility for a whole bunch of minds that really might not be in cohesion with you, because obviously it's something wrong here that we're missing, because all these brilliant people on here, I'm looking at all these brilliant minds on here, all these brilliant minds, and y'all can't even...
Let me ask you another question, you know, because like I say, I've been doing, you know, I feel your frustration too, because I've been here 40-something years trying to bring people together, and I could never figure out why we couldn't come together.
It's the Christian club, David.
I understand that part too, but I'm just saying, but you know, people who say that they down for the cause, as we used to say back in the day, you know, we all our fists balled up, we all down for the, we black, we fighting for the black cause. But yet, the people who fighting for the black cause couldn't sit down at the table together and reason together.
It ain't no black cause
no
more.
That's what they were saying back in them days. I'm just saying.
Ain't no black cause no more. People don't even, you know what? I'm doing a thing called Talk Black to Me. People don't even understand, because when you tell them, when you talk about that blackness, they don't understand. They run around and how Black Lives Matter. Have you ever, I told people on Facebook, read the contract for Black Lives Matter. Read the mission statement. How black is it? I ain't putting no Black Lives T-shirt on me or my children. And none of the people I know going to put one on there. We still, you know what, y'all? You, David, you need to write your paper called "The America is Still the Underground Railroad." That's why we can't succeed, because we think we live in a modern system. Y'all don't even understand America.
I'm gonna have to move on to, you know, somebody. Let me just say this to you, then, because like I say, they say, you know, you shouldn't waste nothing. I mean, especially a great mind. And so, if you have these type of things, and you say you're working on all of these different things, that just may be like
you're joining.
That's what I'm saying. But some of us out here may want to do it with you if we know what we were doing. And so,
amen, David. Amen.
You know, and so that's what I'm saying. If you could maybe, like I said, you can't tell everybody everything. You know, you can't relate to the game sometimes, they say.
We code,
but,
David.
But there are some people on here.
Code.
Yeah, I understand. I understand, because I don't say things on here. that I know I need, I can say, but I won't say because it don't make any difference. But I do know one thing that, like I say, there's going to be a time. That's why I say, I keep, if y'all hear what I say, I was saying that once we get in that room, once we get in the room and then we get together, then I said, you know, that's, I can't tell you, you know, I wouldn't tell you, you know, but again, it's a time and place for everything. And because, like you say, technology, all ears are open. All, and that's why a lot of us can't even get off the ground because we get sniped before you even get out the door because they're already watching. They're going to know what you're going to do and how you're going to do it and who you're going to do it with.
So you have but also, there's some of us off the ground. I understand what Mama and the, but for instance, I'm not frustrated. I'm not even worried. When I say we, I say it in the terms that I only can focus on, I am getting things accomplished. I got a radio show because I figured out who the we was. I got an organization that comes out every year because I figured out who the we was. When I look at what we're talking about in terms of the way I think we don't understand that the things that we do have great going on. Like she said, whether you want to call the paper the Underground Railroad, the Joe Blow paper, or whatever, we have to utilize the paper better because we have a paper. We act like we always got to look at things half full, half empty. No, there's definitely room to be improved. Definitely a lot of stuff that we have to do. But let me tell you something. We got enough stuff that if we want to, we can change Baltimore City around. And that's why we got to let people do what they do. Go ahead, my man.
I just want to ask you something. How many of y'all are trying to buy all those vacant houses up there in the Pennsylvania Avenue culture? How many? How many of y'all buying those houses up there in that Pennsylvania Avenue, in that historic Pennsylvania Avenue district?
Well, if I don't ask, I'm buying my own house. That's why I'm not buying one. So the people that don't have a house, it's not just on Pennsylvania Avenue, but how many people want
I'm trying to start a thing in Baltimore called a homeless habitat. We're trying to buy buildings and set up, you know, the Homes Across America thing that was really started years ago by black people. We're trying to start that in Baltimore, so that the homeless people can fix up their houses and live in them themselves. Now,
and that's what David is asking you. So he says, "What?"
So I'm going to introduce. I'm going to introduce David to the people that I'm going to introduce David to the people that I'm working with, because the people I'm working with are not. They've been attacked already, Baltimore, because they're all buying property. They are making deals.
Well, let me
say
this to everybody. Let me say, for the time's sake, let me say this to everybody. One thing about a David Murphy is I get a lot of information. People come to me for a lot of stuff, underground, overground, what you talk about, what they call that stuff, classified information. I get it all. It comes to me all kinds, and I ain't ashamed because they know I get it all. But at the same time, I do know sometimes you don't have to let your left hand know what your right hand doing when you're talking, doing something strategic sometimes. And so sometimes we need to table some things and keep it, you know, just where it's at until you can get to a certain type of people. Or just like you say, just like Harriet Tubman did, they just didn't go to anybody. You had to go to somebody who's classified, who know the way to get to the next stage. Like Cliff said, run that relay, got to know where to go at, because if I gave it to somebody, go straight to master and go tell where I'm at, where I've been, and where I'm planning on going. But in any case, I want to move on because we only have about 3 minutes left. But matter of fact, we don't have, you know, we ran out of time, really. But at the same time, I'm going to say this to you. Now, we heard a lot of talk, but you know, like I said, we heard a lot of solutions. We have a lot of solutions. But it's nothing like when you can come together. And I'm speaking about June the 5th, where you can come together, when I can pull you up in the corner or pull two or three of us in, and we can have a powwow, we can have a little chat. And not only that, like Earth always say, you can come in there and you sit down there and open up your ears and open up your eyes, and you're going to find out who some of the weeds are in there, you know, and some of the, you know, like I say, you'll find out who they are. And not only that, because even they, even me, much as long as I've been around, and I've been around just as long as some of y'all have, but you know, you get shell shy. You got to be careful who you do stuff with and how you do it. And I understand that. That's why I always been like a loner myself. I don't join cliques or organizations. You know, that's why people don't know me now. Cause they, who is he? You know, they don't know because I, you know, I'm not, I'm there, but I'm not there. But at the same time, see, the mission, my mission ain't never been about me. It's always been about the us. And I do know one thing, and this may not, you know, if you're spiritual or not, God always raises up a group of people with different mindsets, mindsets that don't always focus on themselves. And we had a little conversation last week, and I said, why? And just ask yourself this. I'm everybody on here. I know most of the people on here, but ask yourself this. Why in the world do you decide to, pick up this gauntlet and run with? Why would you decide to pick up a cause of a people that seem like they don't want to help themselves sometimes? Why would you waste your time, your money, your effort, your energy to be doing this not for 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, 15, 20, 35? What is that inside of you to make you want to do these things? Because just like the people of old, no, because most people, the average person in life is this. Most people, it's about me, myself, and I. And they're comfortable with that. They happy, as long as they're happy with no realization. Oh, okay, wait one more second, sister. One more second. But I'm going to say this. There's something special within a lot of you on this call right now that is spiritual, it's godly. And you can't put it down if you wanted to, because you tried to a multitude of times. And there's an old saying in the Bible, too, that if people's steps are ordered. You ever wonder why you run across a certain group of people and always run into these certain type of people? It's for a reason, but we have to figure out that reason. And we have to learn to reason before we can figure out the reason, you know. So we have to learn to reason with one another. And but before we get come up here, Sister Zuleika, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. Good evening, everyone.
Okay.
And I'm excited about your event on the 5th.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting some good feedback on that. But I have a question for Mother Elder Lawrence. I heard you offer to connect Brother David Murphy with the group of individuals just doing the purchasing the houses and investing in the houses for the homeless so that they could go in, renovate those houses so they can have a place that's available for them to live or to purchase. Z-Bay Development Group, which is a company I formed with some other people here in Baltimore, well, we would like to join you in that effort. So that's, you know, I think the we comes in when one of us is doing something, and we offer everybody that's on the line an opportunity to say, would you like to join us in this effort? So that's what I'm going to ask. Would you like us to join you on this effort?
I'm just going to say this and be very frank. Y'all know I speak very frank. I don't create a mountain when it's only a hill I'm trying to cross. Right now, I'm crossing a hill, and I don't need a mountain because I'm telling y'all, before I open my mouth, I research everything that come out of my mouth. And I'm going to tell you something. I've witnessed David. I need the information for June the 5th. I'll just show up. You call. We talked on the phone. But I'm telling you, we are going to show simple things that I don't need a choir for somebody to know I'm singing. I don't need a band for somebody to know the music is playing. I just need to know the music is playing so that you can be comfortable. If we don't heal ourselves first, you can't heal anybody else. If you don't heal yourself, all this big shot imaging people are doing, I care less about it. I care less about it. I personally had to take myself to another state. You know, Yeshua had to leave Nazareth so people would stop thinking he was a carpenter to get his work done. So I'm just telling y'all, I will work with anybody, but I do not do foolishness. I don't need to play no T-shirts. I don't need that big. I don't need that color thing. I don't need none of that because I do the work. I'm doing the work. I'll be glad if all of y'all come and help me. But you know what? I know for a fact that when I tell people that you got the wrong information about the school board, and y'all look me right in my face, and then y'all go and do the thing that I just told y'all don't to do. It's frustrating, David. Me and you talk. D. Cliff, me and you talk. It's just frustrating when you give people, and people are so busy on this big ego tripping. Baltimore, you lead us by ink.
I'm not one of them. See, Mama Edna, I don't like that. Because like I said, I don't feel like I'm doing whatever you say in the school board or whatever. I don't even deal with those people. So when we do that, we're talking and you're making it too general. So you're making it like all of us. I don't even deal with that. So then you make me feel like you're talking about me because that's not what I'm doing. Because
no,
what I'm doing is, again, trying to do what I do best. And I stay focused and I say, you know what, this is what I'm doing. I had Bill Gooden pick up Mama BB because she got this thing swollen on her finger about to fall off. I'm at work. But I said, oh, wait a minute. I know the people to call. I called Charlie Duggar. He was dealing with a thing. I called Baba Tunde. He was at the doctor's office. I called Bill. So I know that we got good people. So I call all these people and I say, look, I need you to rush this lady to a hospital because she need to get this goddamn ring off her finger. So what I'm saying to you, we can't just generalize it because we'll make it seem like people are not doing anything and all of us are doing great work. Yeah, we can do
better. Did y'all hear me? I didn't say people wasn't doing that. This is what I said. Okay, I'm going to do this real quick. My purpose is one thing. I wrote this 20 years ago. I'm trying to stop my wound. From dying on the street. You guys can do what y'all want, but until we can pick our babies up off them street corners, until we can teach our children how to turn a page in a book and stop all this foolishness.
Wait a minute, David. Did you just know they just had a youth march on Pennsylvania Avenue and brought out all of the organizations that's doing so many great things for the young people, mentor groups? They had a big parade this Saturday. So what I'm saying, we got to be careful like it's not nobody out there picking the babies off the street.
I didn't say,
let me say this, y'all, because we, you know, things are great, go out of hand, but.
No, I'm getting ready to say I love y'all guys.
David. Who's speaking?
Support all of y'all, David. I'll support you. But you know what? Guess what? If we can't even be respected, I didn't never say anything about general anybody. I said until we, all of us, till we stop our children from down the street. Eartha, I know you very well. I know all of y'all. But you know what? I am very capable. I got 7 young boys that's going to file a class action suit.
That's what I'm saying, y'all. Like I say, because everybody, like I say, now everybody's not going to go grab a newspaper and say, well, I'm going to take a newspaper and communicate with, because everybody, you know, everybody's not into that. But, you know, I think that we all have our part to play in certain areas that we have to focus on.
We
focus on those certain areas, because that's where we at. And that's what Brother Cliff has just been saying all the time.
Things together is puzzles. It's a puzzle.
And all of them things. But that will can operate on all of them. Everybody can stay in their own little place and do their own thing. But like I said, but we still part of that spoke that, you know, to keep this thing turning. And
yeah, we got to get that puzzle together. We got to get those pieces together, y'all.
Well, I'm going to tell you
y'all
this.
Get this. Our children are dying.
Our
children are dying on the street.
Yeah, they die from all kinds of ways. You know, they lack of this and lack of that. That's a lot, lack of information. But I'm going to say this in closing. We have to close. Is this. For those of you who can make it, on the 5th, if you want to have a conversation, a talk about or make a plan about doing something, I think one of the best things you can do that on, you can always do it, but I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to tell those who have ears to hear and eyes that is open. You be at that place that day and you see for yourself. You won't be able to work with everybody. Some people you don't even want to work with, probably. But at the same time, I'm guarantee you, if you say you are about your work, there will be somebody there who will work with you, who can work together so that you can get your, move you up a little bit more better. And so, like I say, we all interconnected, whether you want to believe it or not, but I believe it. But in any case, I'm going to have to get up off of here because I'm not going to tell my age, but I do have to take care of me. Like you said, if you don't take care of your body, if I don't do this and don't do that, I won't be able to do that and do this. And so so I have to take care of certain things. And y'all can talk, but I'm leaving. Y'all go on. But I'll have to shut it down. And I have much love and respect for all of you.
We just got to keep talking, keep communicating, keep helping each other because, like I said, I think the picture that we have to make sure that we show the community is that we have these resources and everybody that can be a part and help be a part of it is good. That's why I said I wasn't saying that you were saying it was that. I was just trying to say we got to connect just like the people got to help you. We got to help every organization that's doing powerful things so we have a bigger picture of what's needed because so many people are working so hard to try to make good in our community. But like you said, they need help. They need people.
I'm going to have to great go. But there was a gentleman on. I was trying to get to him, but it won't be time enough tonight. And he just turned off to you. No, he's still on there, a brother from a thousand great minds from out of, I think, North Carolina or South Carolina.
Charlotte, North Carolina.
Brother Thomas, he's still on?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and he has a lot of ways that he can assist people. See, it's a lot of us on here have all kinds of ways to deal with each other. But if you come on,
Brother Thomas, but this is what I'm saying: if I don't never know this gentleman, and someone is saying we're not doing something,
you are unmuted.
I'm doing him a disfavor because he's doing something, and I want people to know. Just because I don't know, I don't want to be in the mindset of my people that we don't have great people out here doing great things. So we get connected, like Mama Edna said. We help each other. We help this gentleman.
But that's what I was leading up to because, like I said, I want to invite him on next week so he can share a little bit more of what he does. So what he got going on, he can't say it in 2 minutes or 3 minutes.
No, he can't.
So he has to really lay it out there because what he's talking about is extremely large and it takes time and that's what I was leading up to. So if y'all come on next Monday, you can hear a little bit if you have the time, sir, come on and share a little bit more about what you do and then have a little discussion about it. The whole show won't be about that,
sure.
But we can, at least bring it to the table and then you can exchange information with individuals and see how your program or their program help you or vice versa,
Cool. That'll be great.
But I appreciate you for coming on and Vern and all the rest of y'all, man. This is what I do need from you. I do need some help is this. Now, the thing coming up a couple of weeks, I would appreciate it if those who can, if he would just share it and let people know that you will be there, because you are key important to this whole venture. Even though I know we're talking about collective voice right now, but I'm talking about Grandma Edna, Eartha, Brother Ashaka, Cliff, all of y'all. To me, y'all are extremely important people that has a lot to bring to the table. And like I said, it's a powerful place where I sit at because I'm around powerful people. But the only thing is, with everybody, especially black folks, because, we know what kind of condition where we come from. Some of us know where we're going. But at the same time, getting there is a difficult task because it's not a fair road. It's not an easy road. There's always been bumps in it, and it always will be. And we have to be careful of each other sometimes, extremely careful of each other, because we have known people who have sold us out. and told master on us and did everything else to us. And we'll continue to. We know this. And so, you know, it's out there. And but still, one thing we do have in common, and I know not because we're black, but we have determination, each and every one of us. We are determined. We're going to die trying, put it that way.
Hey, Dave, uh-huh. One of the things also, when you do the Zoom meetings, people on the line, they can put their information in the chat. That way, if we never got with the person or they didn't get a chance to speak, because
uh-huh.
I'm good at looking up stuff, so I could have looked up his information. And
yeah, he got it on here right now. He got his email, and then Grandma Edna has that thing on here, and a couple other something else got some on here.
Yeah, I didn't see it in the chat. Okay.
Yeah, it's in the, some few things in there. But
1000grapevines.com, David.
Mm-hmm.
1000grapevines.com.
Okay,
website.
Just come back next week because I'll send out an early notice and let people know that you know you're coming on, and just have a little preparation for us, not the whole show, but about 10-15 minutes and
cool.
And then, you can talk a little bit about what you do and how we can work it together. But I do want Brother Cliff, once this thing is not slowed down, but while we at that event, I'm going to reveal something at the event. And so I ain't going to say it online right now because I don't want nothing getting in the way of it. But Brother Cliff, like I said, to really work out with you, with the day of the event, so that we can get some things happening. Because you can only strike sometime while everything is at that place at the same time. So just prepare yourself, and that's for all of y'all. Because all if you're gonna be there, it's for a reason, and the reason is way greater than my reason. I got some nice reasons for you to be there, though. I do. But I believe I'm being straight up about this. The reason is going to be way greater than all of us. So I'm going to leave it like that, and I'm going to say good night to each and every one of you. Much love and respect, and keep doing what you're doing. I know it's not easy, but you done it this far, so come on, we'll keep it going. So good night, and have a good evening.
Good night.
Good night. Blessings, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Goodbye.